previously.tv podcast network.
Stay out of Riverdale.
This is the Extra Hot Grape Podcast, episode 143 for the week of January 30th, 2017. I am formerly asexual hat enthusiast David T. Cole, and I'm here with self-destructive music teacher Sarah D. Bunting.
We're going to get in trouble.
Forehead wrinkler Tara Ariano.
You could plant corn in these furrows.
And inappropriate sister Leah Kwan.
All twins hold hands like this, right?
Hello, welcome to another episode of Extra Hot Great, and we have a very exciting first-time guest, woo-hoo! Leah Kwan. Welcome, Leah.
Thank you. Hello.
But why?
may remember Leah's voice from the face-off reports that we used to do with her daughter Olivia, which we do not do anymore now that we've moved to Tuesdays. And as Dave said last week, Liv is too old and it's not cute anymore. Also, I get the sense you didn't want to do it anymore either. Like, you never asked me about it. So I figured
I
you were kind of over it.
I told her that you guys were moving on to another show because I figured she's too old.
Anyway, Leah is my sister. She is the second of the host siblings to guest on this show.
Correct.
Moving on. We are here with Leah to talk about Riverdale. Leah, tell everyone why I would have thought you would be a good choice to guest on this particular episode.
Well, I am a very big fan of Archie Comics, which started quite late, maybe grade 10. I still read them today. I buy them at the grocery store. When we go grocery shopping, when Tara's here, she's always like, don't you want an Archie? And it's true, I do. And when my mom's buying groceries, I'll be like, oh, just over here. And I get the like 10,000 page one because I'm not spending.
Point of order. Do you call them your stories?
Yes, absolutely. But I also have very fond memories of reading them in the backseat of a car with Tara, mm-hmm. where we would always shout the bold text at each other when somebody was in the store.
Yep.
And we had to stay behind, and that was very fun. Do you remember that, Tara?
Kind of. I do remember spending a lot of time sitting in the car when parents were in stores, that is for sure.
Yes.
All right, so you came to this show probably with the most recent experience of Archie Comics. What did you think of this weird, dark adaptation?
It was very difficult for me to watch because I can accept it as a stupid, shitty teen show. Mm-hmm. But I kept being thrown off by them using the Archie comic names, which I know is totally the point, but right. It was troubling for me. Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that they don't all know each other, like there's some storylines that they're hanging on to and then others that they're just throwing to the wind. And it was very confusing for me.
Mm-hmm. But you watched all four of the screeners that we got. Now, Sarah, you are also discussed this matter on the most recent episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour. So without, you know, repeating your entire appearance, since I'm sure everyone who's listened to this has already listened to that as well. Give us your impressions of this. You watched two.
Actually, good news. I watched the other two that we had access to. So now I have watched the first four. Mm-hmm. So that I wouldn't repeat myself.
No.
I kept something in reserve for the home podcast.
Very
You're
good.
Welcome, I guess. It's still pretty terrible, but I am way more likely to DVR it now because it picks up a little in the third and fourth episodes. Like, things actually happen, like boys are kissing and then someone shows up who is like, against all reason, is one of my favorite actors, like is a sign of quality for me. I don't know if we need to put spoiler music.
Oh, my God, it's been so long since we've... Probably. I might have to wing it. Spoilers ahoy. Fun ahoy.
Yes, because Skeet Ulrich.
What? Who is he? Yeah.
He's Jughead's dad.
Jughead
Which is amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that guy looks like an older Skeet Ulrich. And then I was like, oh, right. Skeet Ulrich is the older Skeet Ulrich. I tend to like shows that he's on and watch them, even though I'm the only one. So then they get canceled.
Right.
Opposite, Miracles, Law and Order, Los Angeles. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something about it. It's sort of like figured its shit out and stopped taking itself so seriously in the third and fourth episodes.
I agree. It also explained some things that I was very upset about, like Miss Grundy.
Oh, God. But she's so bad, dude. She's so bad.
Yes.
Yeah, she's not good.
Anyway, we can unspoiler it now. But I mean, I think I am going to record it and have it on the DVR to watch while I'm doing other things, because mm-hmm. it's like, I'm now interested to see what happens.
Okay.
Whereas after the first two, I was like, I'm all set, because this is trying to be like 15 different things and like succeeding at none of them.
Yeah. Well, on that episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour, Stephen Thompson also hit on one of the influences that I detected in it, which was that it's trying to be sort of Twin Peaks-y.
Yes, except absolutely.
It not to be fucking season one, 90210, using Twin Peaks-y as an adjective. Jesus Christ, sorry. But it's like, but to me, having only watched the first one, it's like idiot Twin Peaks in that it's all of the kids and no Agent Cooper. Like, it has the same sort of Twin Peaks quality of like the fashion isn't really of its time, and it's sort of like weirdly hard to place and unspecific and vintage like without, you know, like people have smartphones, but that's about it. Like, it doesn't really, it's trying to, it seems like it's trying to fudge that and sort of be like, it's from every time and it's also from yesteryear, but also there's computers, yes. You know, which
I was confused.
I get it, but I also think that's kind of cheaty. Yes, Sarah, Leah, you were saying?
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I was confused about the year until they pulled out the cell phones and all of that, too.
Because, like, Archie's walking around in, like, his Letterman jacket and rolled up jeans. Like, really? Are kids doing that these days anymore, ever? But also the Dawson's Creek influence is there, too. It's exactly the same storyline as the Dawson's Creek pilot. And I didn't really ever like that show either. So I'm probably not going to keep watching it. I mean, I've said on this podcast before, I do still watch some teen shows, but they tend to be teen shows that are like about nice people being nice, as opposed to like the Pretty Little Liars end of the teen spectrum. Like, the murder aspect of it is not interesting to me. And like, I realized as I was thinking about this the other day, the last show that I watched where it's like there's been a murder and it's going to take a whole fucking season to solve it that I liked and committed to was The Night Of. And every other show like that, it's like, I can't. I don't care enough about any fictional murder to commit to something like this.
I felt like it was the cheap Veronica Mars.
Oh, yeah, I can see
that
too.
That was the problem. Yeah. But it's like, if you focus on, and I did say this on Pop Culture Happy Hour, but I still think it's true. And I also think that the fact that there's more, a little bit more of Jughead in the third and fourth episodes, like, I mean, his voiceover is wretched, but that's not his fault.
Yeah.
And I just wish it was Jughead Mars and it was him, like, you know, on the back of his, you know, dad's bike, like taking pictures of people and trying to solve this crime. But yeah, I agree, Tara. Like, it's really hard to get me to commit, especially with how stally these shows tend to be, mm-hmm. to the, like, we're not going to find out until episode 12, minute 47.
Yeah.
Who did this? And then it's not, when you go back and look at how they did it, it won't hold up. Like,
right.
That I always love when a TV show, first of all, this show is like the CW master race recipe.
Yeah, it is. Like, it really
they
is.
They are, of all the networks on TV, maybe up there with like FX, that know their audience so well and keep on catering to them
for
in
sure.
exactly the same way each time. Like, it's weird to think that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is like the outlier for the CW. Like, that's the one that, like, if you had to say, like, this one actually kind of lives in a different demographic than everything else, which is for the same people. Like, CW's goal is for you never to change the channel.
Right.
And they're doing a pretty good job catering to that one type of, you know, demographic.
Yep.
And this show is, like, seems like it was created in a laboratory just, you know, to continue that trend and perfect it. What I love about the Riverdale world, and when I say love, I mean,
you mean what?
is, you know, and it's not new, but how every problem must and will be solved by teens. and all the adults are almost like ghosts walking through this world of Riverdale. I always am extremely amused by that. But let me ask you this, Tara and Sarah.
Yes.
How does this compare with like when you were first watching Dawson's Creek? Like you were saying how like now you will watch a teen show, but you like teen shows about good people.
I mean, despite having written about it intensely for many years, I always thought Dawson's Creek was kind of bad. Like I never really even... Like,
I don't think that was ever
like
in question.
It. No, no, but like, it's not like 90210 where it's like, I recognize its faults, but I still love it in its stupidity. Yeah. Like, I always thought Dawson's Creek was bad. And I will go on the record since we're in this area saying the OC was always bad too. Don't at me. I don't care. It's a bad show. The only time I liked it was when that Cousin Oliver guy showed up in this first season and like started to make it sort of 90210-y. But I'm getting off track. This is the Dawson's Creek didn't have a murder aspect. And if it had, I would have been less interested in that, too. Like, it's not like I'm against procedurals, but like I'll watch a Law and Order way more happily than I will something like this. That's going to be a boring, slow burn about like this character you literally never met died. Who cares? Also, Sarah made the point on the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast about the horrible corpse that washes up at the end of the pilot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He looks like a schmoo. He's like Fluke Man from the X-Files. Like, it was such
a
bad
corpse. He looks like Steve Bannon with red hair.
Terrible. Anyway, Sarah, your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, he looks like teen ginger Play-Doh Steve Bannon. And the expression on the corpse's face, too, is like this cartoony Homer Simpson thing that's just like, I started giggling and could not stop. It was almost as bad as It Now Stings. Like,
yeah, it was bad.
I mean, here's the, to answer your question, Dave, vis-a-vis comparing it to Dawson's Creek, I mean, there's so much like TV coverage water under my bridge now, that came out gross, sorry, that you almost can't compare them. But also, like, Dawson's Creek, I think, really thought that it was in, that it was going to be the next My So-Called Life.
Right.
But it was actually the next 90210.
Yeah.
And this, I don't think, has any pretensions. Like, on Pop Culture Happy Hour, we did distinguish between teen soap and teen drama. And I think this has no pretensions to being like a Friday Night Lights, like emotional exegesis. I think it's just like pretty people, pretty outfits, pretty crappy acting. Occasionally here's a former teen star and his forehead grooves. Enjoy.
And so, all of them.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, because we were, you know, because we are consuming 90210 for Again With This podcast. You know, I have some contact with, you know, Dylan McKay, and he has a lot of lines in his head back in the day, and now he is like half line. Like, if they ever had to do a surgery on him, if he got in a car accident, they would actually have to like take into consideration the negative space of his forehead when they cut into things. But the thing is, though, is like, it doesn't look like he aged so quickly at the start of his, you know, run, that now he's like, he's older, but he doesn't seem 25 years older. Like,
he's only 5 years older than you. I mean, get a load. Like, he looks about 20 years older than you.
Anyways, I really enjoyed how many forehead wrinkles he had. Yeah. And I'm not slamming on him. He actually, like, he carries it well.
He does. Past guest of the show, Adam Grossworth, tweeted that he's finally grown into his forehead, which I would say is true.
So let me ask everybody, including Leah, on the panel this.
Okay.
Bets, and when it happens, we can revisit it. So let's do a Coke bet. How long before this show does some sort of dream sequence, some sort of drug sequence where everybody becomes like the comic book?
Oh boy. Ooh. 8 episodes.
This season?
Yeah. Okay. I think it'll happen this season.
All right.
Leah?
Halfway through number 2, if they make it that far. But it's in somebody's mind.
In season 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. Season 2, episode 3, I'm going to say.
Whenever sweeps is, that seems like a sweep stunt to me.
Yeah. I should say, since we were mostly shitting on it, and I'm definitely not going to keep watching it, but I have to call out the one moment that did make me laugh in the episode when which is when Betty and Veronica finish their cheerleading tryout in the pilot. And then they're like, or Cheryl is like, whatever. And then Veronica tries to up the ante with like a fake lesbian kiss. And then Cheryl Brosnan's like, that's so 1995. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. Like, I thought the show was going to pretend that was really revolutionary and bold, and then it didn't. So I have to give it a half a point for that.
Doesn't this show seem more like the line from Gossip Girl goes to Riverdale?
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And okay. Gross Especially Point, the which they do seem to be making a lot of references to 90s movies that I'm not sure actual kids that age would be making, but
yeah.
I am very old and do not know what the kids today are up to.
I am less old, but still old. And the whole time I was like, the fuck are they talking about? I have no idea.
I also did think when someone was like, follow me on Twitter, I was like, kids aren't on Twitter. They're on Snapchat. No. Come on now. Even I know that. Well, Leah, are you going to keep watching it?
Yes.
Sarah, we already know who you are. Dave, of course you are.
No, but again, this show was grown in a lab, including Archie's hair, which I'm wondering how long they're going to taper it back down to not, you know, two bottles of dye a show.
Sure.
Because dang, also his eyebrows.
It really looked like he was.
Yes, the Sharpie eyebrows.
Yeah,
it was very don't go out in a rainstorm hair because that shit can run.
It's not going to be, you know, great television, but I like for the demographic they're shooting at, like it's got to be a pretty, I know it was soft in the ratings, but I got to think that this show, you know, will please the CW's audience.
Yep. Yep.
All right, I'm going to move the ad to this spot, guys.
Okay.
All right. Emily writes us and says, here's some money. I don't even need an ad. I just want to thank you guys for doing this podcast and other podcasts for so long. Well, thank you very much, Emily. So I'm going to take this time to thank our audience for making this podcast what it is. Without your submissions, without your game time ideas and your game time help, without your Candon submissions, your delicious crackpot theories, this podcast wouldn't be what it is. You know, podcasts are generally sort of a one-way street, and we try very hard to kind of bring a sense of community and sort of a back and forth to the show. And we couldn't do that without your support, both as Emily has done financially and but also creatively. And we can't do it without you. So I'm going to take this time to thank you, the extra hot, great listeners.
Aww.
Thanks to Emily. If it wasn't for Emily, you wouldn't know how much we love you.
Aww, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And with that.
That classy segue means, once again, it's time for the Blotter Presents. I have two things to talk about this week. The first is Netflix joint The Investigator. Netflix has done a piss poor job communicating what this show is. It is a true crime show. It is not clear it's not clear from like the front facing packaging what it's about. Anyway, it's about the disappearance of this woman, Carol Packman, in 1985. The show is not great, but it's one of those, like, you know, 48 hours is you put it on, you're paying bills or knitting. And then halfway through the second episode, something completely bonkers happens and you're like, wait, what? It's like a crime by a related person that's not this crime. And then you're like, wait, what? And can you just take someone's like work visa and go to Canada in a wig and pretend to be that woman when you probably killed her?
Canada doesn't care.
I guess not. I mean, in Quebec, they don't. I don't know about the rest of y'all. It's sort of sneakily good. Our esteemed colleague and past guest, Stephanie Green, semi-recommended it and was like, I just wish the actual, you know, titular investigator were a different guy because he's annoying. You can do a drinking game about the number of times they say the phrase and has never been seen since because they repeat a lot. But if you stick with it and you're sort of half listening, and then you'd be like, wait, he faked what? And yeah, it's good. I'm halfway through it. I recommend it. Looking forward to doing a little writing about it for the site at previously.tv. And because I know that David T. Cole loves updates on a certain missing skyjacker.
Oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah! It's been so long.
Coop, there he is. Coop, there he is. Coop, there he is.
So, a recent episode of Expedition Unknown, which I never had watched before, did an update to their D.B. Cooper episode, which the first half was like kind of a lot of filler. And also me and my husband, Dan, obsessing over who the host, Josh Gates, reminds us of. As it turns out, it's an exact, if they made it, hybrid of Dave's, Holmes, and Bunting, my brother. So that's a little weird. But they got some independent lab to test his clip-on tie. And what they found is really not that much of an update and unhelpful. However, it suggests that he was involved in the manufacture of cathode ray tubes, which, of course, used to power televisions. So I thought that was a nice little circle of love for D.B. Cooper. You are welcome, Dave Cole.
Shout out to everybody who never learned to tie a tie. Seriously, if I had to go to a funeral and there's nobody around to tie a tie, I would just have to like put my hand up against my neck the whole thing. Just pretend I had like a sore throat. Oh, yeah, I'm sad.
There are YouTube tutorials you could learn.
I could, but who wants to?
Well, first you'd have to buy a tie. That would be part A. Second, you would have to buy a suit, which you also don't have.
Yeah.
But this is
I'm that guy
point.
At the funeral with a Mandarin collar.
Been there.
I'll just keep this brief. In light of current events, we have needed something. I say we, mostly me, have needed something to wind down to at the end of a stressful day of reading / screaming on Twitter. So we're almost at the end of our 30 Rock rewatch. It went so fast. We're already at the series finale. I can't believe it. It's only been like a couple of weeks. And so if you are also looking for comfort TV, the whole series is on Netflix. I really recommend it. It's still so good. And it's weird how like strangely prescient jokes will pop up in places that you wouldn't predict. I mean, obviously in a lot of episodes that are around 2012, there's, you know, politics and election stuff. But the John Slattery episode, Brooklyn Without Limits, where he's like the Tea Party candidate running for congressman from Rhode Island. Is particularly good in his portrayal of a complete idiot trying to run for office, except Jack, the Republican, ends up being able to support someone so dangerously dumb. It's good. 30 Rock is still a good show.
First of all, number one, Pete's still my favorite character on the show. Number two is how many references there are to Kenneth being an immortal angel.
Yep.
Throughout
they really
the show.
Started seeding that a long
they
time
really
before
did.
You noticed it.
Yeah,
you only in retrospect when you've watched the show like five times the whole way through do you really rock that. The other thing about Pete is that, you know, in light of current events as well, Pete the first cuck ? Discuss. Anyway, my plug is for I'll have a new show fact sheet this week for Santa Clarita Diet, the new Netflix show starring my boyfriend Timothy Oliphant, who, side note, I tweeted about this today, but apparently was the victim of this is not funny. It's terrible. But he was photographed naked in a changing room at the gym. And if anyone has those photos, I definitely don't want to see them. You should not email them to me at tara@previously.tv. Anyway, look out for that. The series drops on Friday. Also starring in it is Drew Barrymore and many other people. Nathan Fillion, Andy Richter.
Other non-Timothy Oliphant entities.
Non-Timothy Oliphant penis people.
Leah Kwan, the better of the Ariano sisters.
All right.
It's your turn.
So on that pervy note, I'm going to go and talk about something non-pervy and advise all of the parents out there to watch My Little Pony instead of some bullshit like Caillou. And before you, you know, huff and puff at stupid kids shows, I wanted to tell you that this one's adorable. They have a lot of character building with these little ponies. I wanted to be pissed off at it at the beginning because of how they look. But it's a lot less freaky once you watch it for a while. Also, it's not scary. So if you have scaredy cat kids like mine, there are no big scary moments where they'll run away. I shouldn't say none. Do But the most adorable part is that how much they throw horse stuff into the show that relates back to pop culture or whatever that the grown-ups will enjoy. So some examples, Manhattan is Mainhattan. They have Philadelphia.
Cute.
Aww.
Las Pegasus and Van Hoofer, which makes me laugh every single time. They have a Karl Lagerfeld character and an Anna Wintour. They have a Lady Gaga who sings Pony Face. Yeah. In season, I want to say five, there's a whole storyline about one of them not wanting winter to come because she doesn't want her turtle to hibernate. And it comes suddenly, and Twilight specifically looks at the screen and goes, winter is coming. So there's a lot of cute little references that people get. The Big Lebowski is Jeff Lotrotsky. So I recommend it. Because before I was just tolerating it, and now I can't wait for season seven.
Aww. Awesome.
Aww. Sarah D. Bunting.
Speaking of things that may or may not get another season that we may or may not be looking forward to, I am not a crackpot, and neither is our esteemed colleague Jordan, who actually pointed this out in, I believe, a Real Housewives of Atlanta recap, but so many Bravo reality shows depend on the drama that is created slash ginned up at the reunions. Timber Creek Lodge, which concluded its first season, or second, if you're counting Après Ski as the first season, is like its brethren below deck franchises not having a reunion.
Ooh.
I am not a crackpot, but why, like, the first season was kind of but there were a couple of things that Andy Cohen could totally question the cast about and cause even more dramas on social media, thereby creating and fueling the engine of a second season. But if he doesn't do that, then there's, like, no point in having a second season. Not that there really was anyway. Not that there was really any point to the first season, but I sat through the whole thing, and I'd kind of like to be rewarded with a cat fight between Mark and Jenna on the set of the reunion, wherever it might be held. Unfortunately, there will not be a reunion. I am not a crackpot, but I do feel that all, and I know Andy Cohen has to sleep at some point, but all Bravo franchises of this sort need to have a reunion in order to continue existing and fueling themselves.
Very good.
Before you move on, Sarah, I got some site business to attend to. All voting members of the podcast, I hereby put a vote on the floor that we never use the word drums again.
When you're talking about a Bravo show, it's kind of demanding.
All right, fine. All right, I rescind my vote. Carry on, Sarah.
Yeah, assume that I'm using it with, like, verbal quotation marks.
Okay. I did.
Right. That I refer grudgingly to their stable of Bravo liberties. Because you start saying it to make fun of it, and then the next thing you know, you're actually saying it.
Yep.
Anyway, I apologize. Drama it is from now on. My plug is for my coverage of a show that is on a network that understands how crucial these reunions are.
No kidding.
To the continuing existence of these shows. I'm speaking, of course, of MTV's The Challenge. It's back. Not this week, as you're listening to this, but next. And it's like season... What are we up to now? 150?
100.
19, yeah. I think, is what it said on the press site.
I believe it is TJ's head in a jar season. Good for him. I'm excited about it. And you can follow all the coverage on our website at previously.tv. No drums allowed.
I know Leah Kwan will be because she is a huge fan. Leah even watches Are You the One?
No, just the first season.
Oh, okay. Sorry to misrepresent you.
It was She's a connoisseur.
Yeah. I like a little bit of everything.
Oh, sorry, Leah.
You like what?
No.
Okay.
She's a little bit of everything, assholes.
And on that note.
Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics. I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System. It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Entourage
Tech Talks Leavers 2.
But with your help, our hero pulls through.
Yeah, go Link, yeah, get some. Awesome.
Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up. The Legend of Zelda sold separately.
What the hell just happened?
Of course I know that song. I was alive in the 80s. I could have done that whole rap from memory.
Oh, all right, do it. You ready?
Zelda was intense.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. The creatures from Gamma are really bad. There's Octoroks, Tectoks, and Leavers, too. But with your help, our leader pulls through.
Wow.
But I'm not allowed to say Trump.
I had no idea. Wow. What a revelation. Falling in love with you all over again. All right. I don't know how the hell we're going to top that. But it's time for the canon, and Tara Ariano is submitting this week.
I am. So while I definitely also enjoy a sitcom that's madcap or surrealist like 30 Rock, which we mentioned earlier, I appreciate a show that wrings comedy from the absurdities of recognizable real life. And so in the spirit of my last canon presentation, the season one finale of High Maintenance, I'm offering season two, episode one, no episode title, of Catastrophe. The story of a guy named Rob and a woman named Sharon who meet in a bar, have crazy amounts of sex, go back to their separate lives slash continents, and then discover they've ended up with an unplanned pregnancy. Catastrophe spent its first season letting these two strangers get to know each other while planning for a future together that would include a baby and also the fact that said unplanned pregnancy was high risk and cancer adjacent. In the season finale, which is briefly recapped at the beginning of the episode we're discussing today, Rob and Sharon get married, then have a giant fight on their shitty hotel room honeymoon, at the end of which Sharon's water breaks quite early. As we fade in on season two, it seems as though the cliffhanger wasn't anything to worry about. Rob and Sharon are in bed watching a bad reality show, Sharon balancing a mug of ice cream on her pregnant belly. Then a fight breaks out, and honestly, this fight is the whole cold open, and I could almost clip the whole thing, but I will be restrained. Here is phase one, aka clip one.
Can you move your feet? That's really uncomfortable.
No.
Well, can you make your legs less heavy? Are you going to make me do it?
Picks up her legs and dumps them on the bed.
Why'd you make my legs like that?
I'm sorry. I have a cramp.
You didn't say. That actually hurt me.
I said it was uncomfortable. I didn't know I had to give you a diagnosis. I asked you to move them, and you didn't move them.
That was just really aggressive.
It wasn't aggressive.
You're so aggressive.
I'm aggressive.
Aggressive. Aggressive. Yeah, it was even aggressive the way you said that, Mark Wahlberg.
I'm not aggressive. When have I ever been aggressive to you?
Just now, the way you move my feet.
I have a fucking cramp.
Don't loom over me. Don't threaten me.
What? Do you know what threatened means?
Yeah, and I felt threatened.
You felt threatened? What are you, a blogger? I felt threatened. Post. Fucking Syrians are threatened. I felt threatened. You live on a cream puff.
Do you want to take a walk and just, like, calm down?
Okay.
Where are you going?
Out.
Out. What are you, a teenager? I'm
going for a drive.
Bullshit. You're going to McDonald's. Fine. Take your purse and get out of my house.
What are you, a blogger? Is such a good burn. And I say that as a blogger. Rob comes back furious because he couldn't find where Sharon parked the car and accuses her of deliberately parking far away, to which she spits that, of course, that's what she'd do as a hugely pregnant woman with 11 bags of groceries. Phase two, aka clip two.
Don't touch me.
If you come anywhere near me, I'm going to scream. Put your finger in my ass.
They're having sex.
Ow.
Oh.
I'm just saying there was a cut.
Still sex?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, hey. Are you okay, darling? Come here, honey.
I think I cut my effing eyebrow bone.
Get down, Mabel. Get down, Mabel.
Did he say his eyebrow bone?
Yeah.
I love that.
So that's their son, Frankie, wandering in on them, vigorously fucking, and judging by his size, it seems like about a year and a half or so has passed. So it's a smart play. First-time parents freaking out about every damn thing is boring to watch. And this way, we're jumping right to the funny part of the first kid, second kid's loves diaper ads, which are charming and cute. Speaking of charming and cute, the couple with Frankie the next morning at breakfast, fondly chatting about whether Frankie's love of letting the dog lick his toes will mean he's going to have to pay prostitutes to do it when he's older. Rob goes to work, and then, emergency, Sharon calls. She thinks the baby's coming now. Clip three.
You can't keep doing that.
Twice. I've done it twice, and this time I genuinely felt really lonely and bored.
Sharon might not have cried wolf if she'd known she actually was going to go into labor later that day, which we hear in clip four.
I don't like this!
Nurse, she doesn't like this!
No, is it out yet? Oh, God. Oh, no. Am I shitting myself now?
Barely!
I included this clip just to show how much smarter this show is about writing not just a couple, but a husband and father. Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan created and write the show together in addition to starring in it. And if you follow Delaney on Twitter, you know he has whatever the opposite of body horror is. A lesser sitcom would show the husband grossed out by labor poop. Rob is helpful and calm and knows when it's appropriate to lie for the sake of his wife's dignity, such as it is in this situation. So from here, we shift into a bottle episode as Rob and Sharon are hosting a party for everyone they know to come and see the baby. Clip five.
Why did we do this?
Because it knocks out all our visitors in one terrible afternoon.
Their guests maybe feel the same way? Clip six.
We flipped a coin for this one. I lost her.
Similar to the subtlety of Rob's delivery poop moment is this one between Sharon and her old friend, Melissa. Clip seven.
Seems like only 10 minutes ago we were sharing one bedroom and a dildo above a chicken cottage.
We never shared a dildo.
That's what you think.
Oh my God. Oh God, I'm going to wipe myself. Oh, it's okay. I'm running nappy.
Oh God. You've got it all now.
Yeah. Got two kids and a dog now. It's what I always wanted, apparently.
There's not really much story per se to the episode other than that Sharon's dad seems to be showing signs of dementia and leaves the door open, resulting in the death of the dog, which I won't get into, but which the show handles well. It's both tragic and darkly funny. But mostly it's just a series of vignettes that tell the escalating horror story that is this very bad party. Like Rob's shitty mom, Mia, played by the late Carrie Fisher, who causes a crisis when she brings Frankie out to the yard without telling anyone. Clip eight.
Jesus Christ, you nearly gave me a heart attack.
Why can't a grandmother spend time with her grandson?
Mia, you've been here 3 weeks. He barely registered his existence.
Oh, please. This is the first day since I got here that you haven't slept till 11.
What?
You treat Rob like a hired hand.
Knock it off, Mom.
I think you might be more comfortable in a hotel.
Well, probably. At least there I'd get clean sheets now and then.
All right, don't be an asshole, Mom.
Oh, she's not an asshole. She's a hemorrhoid on an asshole. You are a malevolent hemorrhoid of a woman.
And you can take it down a few notches too, all right? Your parents have been here 25 times in the last 3 months, and any complaints I've had, which, by the way, Carol, have been barely any, I've delivered to you in private. I even nailed them to the church door.
Where's Marin? Where's Marin?
She's upstairs. But even if she wasn't, I couldn't call out her name because I can't pronounce it.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Please, anyone, help me out here. Can anyone pronounce my baby's name?
Marin.
Not you people, the other people.
Marty.
Marion.
Myron.
Or when Rob's gross friend Dave, the American played by a British person with an unconvincing American accent, shows up with the cake. Clip nine.
Ta-da!
What the hell? Where'd you get that photo?
Rob texted to me right after she was born.
That's my areola. You can see my veins.
It's the baby nursing.
Perfectly natural.
I don't know if it is on a cake.
Areolas as big as baby's faces. Everybody!
Finally, everyone leaves, whereupon Sharon confesses to Rob that she hasn't bonded with the baby yet, but even this is just another aspect of parenthood that they discuss candidly and lovingly and not a very special episode-worthy crisis. Catastrophe is just a smart, funny, well-observed show. It's a series about parenting that doesn't make parenting seem like it's either a saintly endeavor we all should revere, but one that can be as sucky as it is rewarding. Even a non-parent like me can appreciate its spiky truthfulness. It features sharply drawn characters, very good, often dirty jokes, and Rob Delaney's butt, all of which are available in super concentrated form in this intense yet hilarious episode, which is why I think you should induct it to the canon. And Leah is the only person on this episode who has or ever will have a child.
Did you, poop yourself?
Why don't you start? That's not what I was going to ask. I also know the answer.
I thought it was very natural parenting. It was cute. I liked the way they had their conversations with each other about, well, when their older kid comes in and they're all inappropriate. I'm not talking about the sex part, because I've never been caught having sex, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
But the inappropriate conversations that they have, and where you just, you know, talk cute and then the kids don't know that you're being inappropriate. Or right. It's like that phase right before you have to start, and then after spelling comes codes, and then you're just fucked. So it was very nice to see that with other people. But yeah, I thought it was very honest portrayal of parenting, and you know, how families deal with each other in front of each other and then behind doors as well.
Okay. Sarah.
What did you think that I was going to think of this?
I thought you would like it.
I didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, I get why. It's not one of those, like, I don't understand why anyone would like this. Like, mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
Get it. But, like, Sharon is really an asshole. Like, I just.
She is.
Really, like, well beyond what I would want to keep watching.
Okay.
And it kind of never came back from that for me. Some of the repartee is very clever and I did laugh at it and I think they have good chemistry, but yeah, I don't know. And then they like killed a dog in the middle of it. I just didn't. And it did seem a little bit like they were laughing at their own jokes a little too much for me. I understand why this is a like, not innovative exactly, but you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. this isn't what you usually see and that point is made, but the central characters were quite off-putting
okay.
to me.
Fair enough. Dave.
You were trying to get me to watch this show forever and I just kind of never really wanted to engage with it. And then we watched the first season a couple months ago and the second season about a month ago. And I think this is a pretty smart show. I don't mind. I mean, I know this is not what Sarah was saying, but I really don't mind a comedy where, you know, the characters are not likable if they're drawn the right way. And I don't think these characters are unlikable, but they're just sort of, you know, they have good days and they have bad days. Sometimes they are loving and sometimes you just so sometimes you're Homer Simpson with the nose whistle in church and all you could hear is that and you're like, breathe yeah. through your damn mouth.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I may not have context for it, could be part of my issue. So sure. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, perhaps, but I think like this is, you know, tonally, this is consistent with season one. But the show is, I find it very honest. It's a pretty even show, but I don't know if it hits the first watch, which isn't like a really a big metric for me, but just FYI, if you kind of like what you heard, it's this seasons are short enough. I think you can go back.
Yeah, they're only six episodes.
Rob Delaney and what's the actress's name?
Sharon Horgan.
Yeah, really great together. They have a very natural chemistry, one that I think shows that these are people in the world who have existences that don't revolve 24/7 around the relationship with each other. There's something about the way they balance the characters. You know, they all still have to work. They all still have to do these other things in life. And they're not just mentions. They seem to be part of how their relationship works.
Yeah.
You know, he has a job at a pharmaceutical company. She, you know, at for a good part of this season is sort of just managing friendships
yeah.
and lack thereof. Mm-hmm. It all seems very real, very integral to who the characters become.
Yeah. I wonder if Sarah would have liked better the second episode of the season where she's too involved with the other mom and like pushes too hard and then Rob has to tell her off, or if that would have made her more mad.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll never know.
I will say
she'll
I think the dog
it.
Bit didn't really hit.
Yeah.
I
mean, I get it in terms of advancing the story about the dad, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly given that it was named Mabel, like that's
well,
just not
gonna,
yeah.
It's not going to do well for Buncey.
That's right. Just bad research.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that, but I'm okay. What can you do?
And it is a show that is under the radar here largely.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Because
Prime.
It's on Amazon yeah. and Amazon does not know how to
market.
Promote their shows. It is like not only apparent to me, but also if you listen to podcasts, like we're listening to podcasts from Richard Kind.
Yeah, who's
recently.
Who's in Amazon's Red Oaks.
And he was saying like he loves the Amazon support, but they cannot market a show to save their lives. And it's true. Like I barely heard of anything on Amazon. So
yep.
If you haven't, give the show a shot. I liked it a lot. I would say yes. Leah, what vote you?
I am voting yes because I am going to see if Derek can find it through methods.
Ooh,
and then we can watch it together.
Sarah D. Bunting, I think we know, but let's hear the vote.
Yes, this, I get it, but I don't get it, so it's a no for me.
All right. Well, that's still a majority, so. Catastrophe, Season 2, Episode 1, no title. You are hereby inducted into the Extra Cadre Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It is time for Winner and Loser of the Week. Tara, who's our winner?
I have a question for Leah first. Does there not Amazon Prime in Canada? For videos?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. One other thing before I go on to the winner. We welcome your canon submissions and known acts. Please send them to us. Go to previously.tv under the podcasts drop down. There's information on how to submit. Winner of the week is 60 Minutes because they have just hired Oprah Winfrey as a special correspondent. Already a very long running popular show. This can only help. Good job, 60 Minutes. Nice get.
Huh. And Sarah, loser of the week?
Once again, NBC not really understanding the optics of anything. The Today Show is the loser, particularly the 9 o'clock hour, which has pastured Al Roker and Tamron Hall and replaced these people of color with Megyn Kelly, who is not. I'm sure they have plausible deniability for what that's about. I'm sure that's actually true, but it's still kind of icky, and she's still Megyn Kelly. So yeah, it's not great.
Side loser for NBC. This is apparently the first week or the last week that they just aired new episodes. Was the first that The Late Show with Stephen Colbert beat The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Wonder why? Cough. Something to think about.
Speaking about things to think about, do you know what time it is? It's game time. All right, everybody. This is the sixth game time of the season. With Monty's victory last week, the standings are Tara 2, Sarah 2, Valued Guests 1.
Woo.
Today we're playing 2-4-2 from Rob Hartman, who earns himself an extra credit, redeemable for an extra hot, great mini topic of his choosing. Special thanks this week to the followers of the @EHGAssist Twitter account for their help supersizing today's game time.
Oh boy.
2-4-2 Uh-oh. Is very, very simple.
Okay.
You have to guess the title of a TV show. Every correct answer has two syllables, and each clue, guess what? Is two syllables.
Oh boy. Rob.
Okay.
One point for each correct answer. No hints, but here's one hint.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll want to ask for the spelling of a clue.
Okay.
And here's another hint from Rob.
Yep.
There are no answers with the in the title.
Okay. Good to know.
All right.
Okay.
So there are no shows that start with the.
Got it.
All right. Let's throw it to Picky.
We will start with Sarah.
All right. We're going to go Sarah, Tara, Leah. All right, that's our order.
Yep.
Are we ready to play 2-4-2?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Here we go. Starting with Sarah. Your clue, Brown Coats. The show.
Brown Coats. Who would have Brown Coats? A-Team.
Incorrect. Firefly. Tara Ariano.
Yep.
Borgnine.
Borgnine.
I'm going to go a little fast on these because there's a lot.
Okay, I don't know.
That is Airwolf.
Oh, Airwolf. Sure.
All right, Ariano. Leah Kwan, formerly Ariano. Lifeguards. Two-syllable show. The clue is Lifeguards.
Baywatch?
Nice.
Correct.
Nice. 2 points, right?
Woo. No, 1 point.
1 point, okay.
Sarah D. Bunting, Kiss Grits.
Alice.
Tara Ariano.
Yes.
Snick Show.
I don't know.
Show called All That. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Leah Kwan. Scotty. Yeah. Scotty.
Star Trek.
Correct. Sarah D. Bunting, Deacon.
Nashville.
Oh, that works, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Give you that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was it?
Correct answer.
Amen.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Oh, work, yeah. Sure.
Tara Ariano.
Yeah.
Wolfram.
Angel.
Correct. Leah. Quickfire.
Top Chef.
Nice.
Isis. Sarah D. Bunting. Isis.
Isis?
Yep.
Is that spelled I-S-I-S?
Correct. All capital letters.
E-ring?
Archer.
That was... Oh, right. Yeah.
Tara Ariano.
Yep.
Agent.
Agent. I don't know.
Probably more than one show would fit this, but Arliss.
Yeah, right.
All right, Leah. Nana. Na-na.
Like N-A-N-A?
Uh-huh. Nana. I put this cool in. It's a little mean. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Batman.
Oh.
Sarah D. Bunting, Quiver.
Arrow.
Nice.
All right, you know, Kate Walsh.
Bad Judge.
Leah, Gandhi. And I know you watched this show.
Oh, Clone High.
Thank God.
I'm sweating.
Sarah Bunting, Guillaume, right?
Guillaume.
Guillaume, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Picky. You're a peach. Benson.
Sports Night would also work, though. She was also
true.
Tara Ariano?
Yep.
Nose Twitch.
Bewitched.
Bring us into our first score break for Leah. Clooney.
ER?
That is correct. Also, hey. Alternative hint was Chopper, which I thought was pretty funny.
Very exciting game. I have 3 points. Sarah has 4 points. Leah, breathing very loud into her microphone, has 5 points and is in the lead.
All right. So who's in last place?
Me.
All right. You know what that means, Sarah?
I do.
It is time for the Grossworth Equalizer Challenge. Get three of these six 1984 Trivial Pursuit TV questions.
Uh-huh.
Right. You get 2 points.
Okay.
What show's runaway slave is Gabe Cooper?
I'm going to say Roots.
You'd be wrong. That is Daniel Boone.
Okay.
What talk show host married the great grandniece of chocolate magnate Milton Hershey?
Johnny Carson?
Ooh. Jack Parr.
Okay.
What day of the week provided the first name for one of the Adams children?
Wednesday.
What Yay. Soap takes place in Port Charles, New York?
Oh, no. Shit. Which one is it? General Hospital? Oh, thank God.
Yay!
What swashbuckling hero comes out of the night when the full moon is bright?
Zorro.
He does. Wow.
Woo!
All right. Just for giggles, you got it.
Yes.
All right, let's do that question again.
We all have gotten Barry Manilow.
Tara.
Oh, yes.
What singer starred in the TV movie? Guess what the TV movie is called?
It's Copacabana.
Yeah, it's Copacabana. Who's the singer?
Jerry Fanilow.
I don't know how you knew that. It's like we edited it out, making terrible mistake. So that gives
Manilow.
You 2 points, and we're back into the game proper. Sarah D. Bunting, your clue, 2-syllable clue for a 2-syllable show: Mormons.
Big Love.
Tara Ariano.
Yep.
Pirates.
Black Sails.
Leah Kwan. Dolphin.
Dolphin.
Yeah, not a lot of shows with dolphins in them.
No.
Dolphin.
That doesn't help.
I'll give you a clue. It's not Sequest DSV because that's more than 2 syllables. That show's Flipper.
Well, Steel Meal.
Oh, that was a TV show.
Sorry.
Yes.
Too slow in the Steel Meal. Sorry. I'll try to.
I wasn't sure
those.
I still had one. Do I? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you got one.
Okay.
Sarah D. Bunting, tattoos.
Oh. Best Ink.
Yeah. Wait, I mean, yes, that'll work.
Yeah.
What
was it?
Current bigger show, Blind Spot.
Oh, sure, but yeah.
Oh, right.
Key West, Tara.
Both.
Key West.
Key West. I don't know.
Bloodlines.
Oh, right.
Leah, how rude.
Full House.
Sarah, whoa, six.
Blossom?
Tara.
Yep.
Selick.
Blue Bloods.
Back to Leah. Pack Rats.
Hoarders?
Sarah D. Bunting. Ballet.
Ballet. Ballet, 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 ballet. I don't know.
Anybody?
Bunheads.
Bunheads, yes.
Ah!
Tara Ariano.
Mm-hmm.
Law songs.
Law. Oh, cop rock.
I put that one in there.
Nice.
For Leah, Draper. Draper.
Mad Men.
Sarah D. Bunting, Brit Friends.
Hmm.
Brit Friends?
It's a
vintage,
yeah, it's,
one.
Brit Friends.
The problem is with this one is it's
Broadchurch.
I'll give you a hint because I don't know, like this came up as two syllables in the, you know, syllabletronic, but you might be tempted to say this with three syllables, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah,
so, maybe.
So I'll give you another guess. Brit Friends.
Brit Friends. Top Gear? I don't know.
Coupling.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Tara Ariano.
Yep.
JR.
Dallas.
Leah. Pickles. Pickles.
Pickles. Pickles. Nope.
Rugrats.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Sarah D. Bunting. McShane.
McShane?
Yep.
Rawhide?
Close. Deadwood.
Ah.
Tara.
Yep.
Splatter.
Oh, gross. Oh, Dexter.
And bring us into our second score break for Leah, Big Balls. And I know you watch this
you
show.
You do watch this show for sure.
Big Balls and Big I Balls. Watch this show.
Uh-huh. Watched it.
Watched this show about Big Balls. I don't know.
Steel Meal?
Do you still have one?
No, I don't, but Sarah does.
Oh, okay. Well, then you don't say
I don't know what.
Okay, sorry.
That is Wipeout. Wipeout.
Oh, right. Oh.
All right.
That is
we're about halfway through our game, guys.
Still a very exciting close game. Sarah has 7. Leah has 8. I now have 10.
All right. So that means it's Sarah's turn in.
No, it's never done this before.
Wordsworth Equalizer Challenge. Are you ready, Sarah?
Not really, but let's do it.
Let's do it indeed. All right. Here we go. What lawyer, switchboard operator, and receptionist answers to the name of Gertie?
Bat Masterson.
Harry Mason.
Oh, shit!
How many years probation was Blake Carrington sentenced to at his manslaughter trial? There are so many questions about this show.
So many.
And many it's being years? Rebooted, right?
Yeah, how many years probation?
Yeah,
right?
How many years probation did Blake Carrington get at his manslaughter trial?
Five.
Two. What two sitcoms based in Wisconsin were aired back-to-back on Tuesdays from 76 to 78?
Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley.
Right. Nice!
Who religiously hosts the 700 Club?
Still
my
does,
God.
I think.
Then and now.
Oh, is he still alive?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Still alive, still a shithead.
I'm not actually sure which one it is, though. Falwell.
Pat Robertson.
I think Falwell's.
What character in Gilligan's Island calls Kansas home?
Marianne.
All right, got to get this one for it. What country were Bill Cullen and Art James born in?
Fuck. Bill Cullen and Art James.
Yeah, you know, Cullen and James.
Bill Cullen came up again recently because I think he's the one who was Betty White's husband.
Oh, no, I thought that was... No, that's someone else.
All right, let's go. Need an answer.
Canada.
Good old United States of America. No points.
Trick question.
Back to the game, Sarah. Facts, ma'am.
Dragnet.
Nice.
Tara Ariano. Yep. Ben.
Oh, Dream On.
Leah Kwan, invest. Invest.
Oh, if you watch this one.
Apparently not.
Steel Meal.
It's on TLC. Oh,
Sarah called Steel Meal.
Yep.
Shark Tank.
Nice. Back to Sarah. Yep. Mountie.
What? Oh, I can't believe I might know this one. Due South?
Nice. Oh.
Cookie.
Oh, Empire.
Leah Kwan. Watson.
Sherlock.
Back to Sarah. Oof. Midwest? Yep.
Midwest. Parks Rec?
Fargo.
I like that.
Ah!
Moya. M-O-Y-A.
What? Oh, is this fucking Farscape? Farscape?
It is. Fucking Farscape's too many syllables.
Fucking isn't part of the answer.
Leah Kwan. Lauer.
Nope, that's not it.
Lauer.
I don't know.
Oh, just throw an answer out there.
Isn't he on the Today Show? But that's too many syllables.
Just called Today.
Just Today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So she get...
Yeah, she got it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Sarah D. Bunting, grammar.
Frasier.
Correct.
Oh, nice.
Tara Ariano, yep. Chaos.
Chaos. Oh, I don't know which one this is. I don't know.
K-A-O-S.
Yeah.
That's Chaos. Get Smart.
Oh, Get Smart, sure.
Leah Kwan, Norseman. Mm-hmm. Norseman.
Vikings.
Yes. Sarah D. Bunting, Alton. Alton.
Alton?
Yeah.
Alton. Good Eats?
Well done.
JJ.
Good Times.
Kenny. Or Leah. Kenny here.
South Park?
Has an exclamation point. My favorite clue. Bad Jazz.
Homeland.
Tari Ariano.
Yep.
Heard of?
You missed.
Nice.
Bring us into our third score break. Not friends.
Not friends.
I'll give you a clue. Friends is capitalized. Not friends.
Nope.
Anybody?
Nope.
Joey.
Oh.
Joey.
Oh.
Not friends. Oh,
fucking bullshit.
All right. Leah's got 12. She's going to kill the card since it all happened when she was 2 years old. Sarah has 13. I have 15.
All right. That means Leah. You are in the Grossworth Equalizer Challenge. Get 3 of these 6 mid-80s TV questions right. What year were you born?
1982.
Right. So you're 2 to 3 years old when all this happened. Hey, look at this. Who left Blake Carrington dead on a Rocky Mountain trail?
Martha.
Yeah, close. It's Nick Toscani.
Sure.
Second guess.
What operation did Dallas's Miss Ellie undergo in 1979?
Breast reduction.
Mastectomy.
So close!
Yeah.
Shit!
I'd give that to her.
No.
What it doesn't matter.
I mean, it did reduce
technically,
her breasts.
Yeah. What first name did Captain Steubing's mother give him?
Charlie.
Meryl. All right, got to get all these right. Who ate chicken legs from Ralph Cramden's icebox while sleepwalking?
His mom.
Ed Norton. What Muppet has been dubbed a thing and a whatever?
Oh, she could get this one.
Yep.
Animal?
Ooh, good guess. Gonzo.
Oh, yeah.
What's the name of Sonny Crockett's sailboat?
Sonny Crockett.
Yeah, Sonny. Oh, he named that for himself.
Yes.
Anybody? Sarah, do you know this? Saint.
I don't.
Something. Saint Vitus's dance.
Vitus's dance.
Vitus. Sure. All right.
Oh, Sonny. Douche.
That was, yeah. That challenge is not for anybody, but certainly not for Leah.
No.
Back to the game.
Yep.
Sarah D. Bunting, Telly.
Kojak.
Nice.
Asner.
Lou Grant.
Or Leah, C.K.
Louie.
Well done.
Harlem. Or Sarah.
Luke Cage.
Oh, nice.
Tara. Ew. Rayburn.
Match game.
Zoe. Or Leah.
New Girl.
Nice.
Sarah. Griffith.
Griffith?
Yeah.
Is it Griffiths? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H.
Right. I don't know.
The Birth of a Nation, the TV show?
Yep. Matlock! Tara.
Oh, Jesus.
Pablo.
Yes. Pablo. Narcos.
Ah.
Leah. Britton. I'm going to spell it for you just because. B-R-I-T-T-O-N.
Sure.
And I'll give you another hint just because you'll never ignore it. But for the audience, for Tara, the other hint is old font.
Oh, sure. Yep.
But your hint is Britton.
Britton.
Yeah. B-R-I.
Nope.
T-T-O-N.
Nope.
Nashville.
Old font.
All right. Back to Sarah D. Bunting, Vermont. Vermont. Two
Scandal?
Oh, that works.
Yeah, not really, though.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
Yeah, but not as much of a thing as a show called Newhart.
Yeah. I was going to say Bernie.
All right.
Just for fun.
Judge Stone.
Night Court.
Chumley. Or Leah. Chumley. Hey.
Chumley.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pawn Stars.
Actually, that was our school's mascot, and the name of the school was Kent Place, so that would work.
Oh.
A little trivia for you there.
Couple.
Nightline.
Facelift.
Oh, Nip-Tuck.
Nip-Tuck, correct. Airline.
Oh. Fuck.
Airline. Not oh fuck.
It's two syllables though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shit.
Pan Am.
This show no
fuck
one watched.
Oh, watch
that piece of
shit.
Oh,
and
I that show.
All right.
I see the.
Yeah,
go on.
That's a tough one. Army. But yeah. Math Cops.
Numb Threers.
Yeah. Hamptons.
Revenge.
Yada.
Yada. Nope. That's not what I thought it was. Yada.
Yeah. Just keep on saying that clue over and over again.
Yeah. I know it's the yada, 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 but Seinfeld.
Hey.
That is correct. And here we are at our last official before the game score break ends thing.
So close. Leah has 15. Sarah has 17. I have 21.
All right. That means Leah has...
Okay.
There you go. Are you ready? What cartoon show features a TV host named Ed Sullystone? Sullystone. Stone.
My quad.
Raggle Rock?
I thought a cartoon.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Raggle Rock
was
like Muppets.
No, it was Muppets.
I know it was also Muppets, but I didn't know, you know. Anyway, move on.
The Flintstones.
The Flintstones is the answer.
Oh, fuck.
What did Gunther do to Gavin to end his dancing career on The Edge of Night? What the fuck is The Edge of Night?
Hit him with a stick?
Close. Broke his legs, maybe with a stick. What courtroom series was the 1986? Wait a second. This box says 1985. I'm so confused now. What courtroom series was the 1986 effort of Hill Street Blues creator Stephen Botchko?
Is it Night Court?
I wish. LA Law. LA Law. What's the speed limit in Mayberry?
30?
20. What famed artist and bird lover was regularly portrayed on The Adventures of Jim Bowie?
Jennifer?
Yep. John James Audubon.
What
would Dark Shadows Barnabas have reverted to if Adam had died?
An airplane.
The answer was a vampire. A vampire. All right, back to the game. Everybody's got four questions left. Going with Sarah first. Goodman.
Roseanne.
Tremé would also work, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Wheelchair.
Oh, wheelchair. Don't know. It's not Ironside.
Too bad, because you watch it.
What?
Speechless.
Oh, of course.
Leah. Young Clark.
Yes. Hold on. Wait for it.
Young Clark.
Smallville.
Nice.
Kinnear.
Talk Soup.
Nice. Latka.
Taxi.
Back to Leah. Brit Car.
Herbie. That car show.
I already said it, actually.
Yeah.
You did.
Oh.
Brit Car. Top Gear. Top Gear.
I was going to say our dad watches it, but that's not really helpful.
Suki.
No. Football.
Suki.
True Blood.
Cooper.
Cooper.
There he is. There's the hint.
I don't know. It's not Mad Men because we already had that one.
Yeah.
Don't know.
First name.
Yeah, Nashville twice.
Agent.
Oh, Twin Peaks.
Oh.
Back to Leah. Suitor.
Bachelor.
Yeah.
That's three syllables.
That's three syllables.
I would say.
Yeah, Bachelor.
Not if you say
but
it
you're
like that.
But Leah, you're close. You're close. You're so close. You're looking in a mirror.
Unreal?
Yeah, unreal. Correct. Happy birthday to Becca, one half of the This Week in Ladies podcast, published author, stylish badass, pub trivia all-star, who is so good at lightning rounds, and of course, the Monica of our group.
If I might just break in here, if Becca is the Monica of her friend group, we must assume that means Becca is a world-class chef who at various points in her life had a crush on Kermit the Frog, dated Jean-Claude Van Damme, and accidentally sexually harassed a housekeeper to try to find a bleach spot on the crotch of her jeans. Right?
I assume so. Back to our birthday wisher, who writes, I can never thank you enough for introducing me to Extra Hot Great.
Oh.
And being an all-around great friend for the past decade.
I hope this message makes it into your tiny triumph list. Love, Leah, the self-admitted Ross of the group. Happy birthday, Becca!
All right, Sarah D. Bunting, you're Rick. The spelling is very... But wait, spelling is very important in the answer.
Yes, it is. So that's Vega... Dollar sign.
Yeah, Vega. Ching. Karis.
Webster.
Correct. And our last clue of the game for Leah, theme park. Theme park. I will give you this additional clue. Current show.
At a fucking theme park?
Uh-huh.
It's not Sister Wives, so I don't know.
It's got robots.
Oh, she doesn't watch that.
Well, I know. That's why I said it was a current show. I thought maybe, you know, it would jog.
Oh, Pony World.
It's a little show called My Little Pony. No, it's Westworld.
It was not My Little Pony, let me tell you.
All right, score break, please. Final score.
All right, Leah had 16, which is very respectable, that's, by the way.
Yeah, that's good choice.
21, Sarah had 21, I had 23. Very close.
Ooh,
game.
Very close. All right, for shits and giggles and 2 day points. The clue is spouse switch.
Wife swap.
Value guess with two day points. Congratulations, Tara.
Tara.
Good job, sister wife.
Yeah, good job, Leah.
Well, that is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We discuss the gritty, teen-filled mystery sex romp that is Riverdale before Sarah presented the blotter presenting the investigator and new D.B. Cooper offerings. We went around the dial with stops at 30 Rock. Oh, you didn't change that one.
No, I didn't.
30 Rock, My Little Pony, Timber Creek Lodge, and The Legend of Zelda. Tara, give us a little taste.
Legend of Zelda is really rad. The creatures from Gamma are really bad. Boss Rock, Tech Talks, and Levers, too. And with your help, our hero pulls through.
Tara's canon submission was a catastrophe, but that's okay in this instance. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Tara was the winner of this week's Game Time. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano,
barely
Sarah D. Bunting,
Buncey and the Pussycats,
and Leah Kwan,
more Jughead.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time, right here on Extra Hot Great.
Stuck-up Riverdale punks think they're too good for me.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.